Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to the Light of Portland with Pastor Sherelle. Let's talk about the things that affect the body of Christ in this world today and how we can truly impact the world. Enjoy the next song, and following that will be the voice of Pastor Sherelle live in Portland.
Yeah!
This ain't no ordinary worship. Well, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continuously be in my mouth. My soul will make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth unto all generations. Good evening, and welcome to the Light of Portland broadcast. I am Pastor Kimberly Black, and I am coming to you live from the City of Roses. Our co-host, Pastor Cheryl Pennington. Praise the Lord, everybody. She's here. She's here in the city, and we're just so blessed to be able to worship with her this morning. We want to just greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank God for this opportunity. We thank God for this day, for this is the day that he has made, and we have been rejoicing all day because it's been a good day. God has blessed us with wonderful fathers, and he's blessed us with a heavenly father that loves us unconditionally. And so that's what made it a super, super, super happy Father's Day. So we want to say happy Father's Day to all of our fathers that are listening on tonight's broadcast. We hope and pray that you've had a blessed, wonderful day, weekend with your family, sharing, because that's what's important, family. Family is first. Thank God for this platform that he has graced us with, and he has given us the opportunity to bring this good teaching, good singing, good teaching, good conversation to you all across the United States, to your home, riding in your car. We thank God for the Butterfields who have shared this platform with us on Blog Talk Radio. We thank God for Pastor Sherelle coming through our city and ministering and work and laboring, toying up the ground and planting seeds. And this is one of the seeds that she has planted for us with the Light of Portland. We thank God for her. We thank God for Archbishop Ruth Smith. We praise God for her work and her ministry, her mothering, and the anointing that God has placed upon her life. It is a joy to be in partnership and covenant relationship with such wonderful God-fearing people who love the Lord and who loves his people. We are in store for a treat tonight. We have some announcements. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. We're going to share some announcements, and then we're going to bring our speaker on. Let's just go in for a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we humbly come before you this evening, first of all, oh God, saying thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace and your loving kindness that you have shown towards us this day. Thank you, Father, for the activities of our limbs and for waking us up this morning, clothing us in our right mind, giving us a portion of our health and our strength. Father, you blessed us to go out to worship today, and you blessed some of us to cook dinner or go out to dinner. You watched over us and you protected us. No hurt, harm, or danger came upon us as we sat in worship or as we sat in restaurants or we sat in the yard. You kept us safe. You protected us. And so, God, we praise you tonight for being our protector. We praise you tonight, Father, for being our keeper. Father, we give you glory and honor because you are our all in all. You are our hope. You are our strength. You are our peace. Father, we call you holy, for there is none like you, O God. Father, we call you faithful, because your tender mercies are new to us every morning. Lord God, we call you loving, and we call you kind. We call you forgiving, because you look beyond all of our faults, and you saw our needs. Father, we just thank you tonight. We appreciate you, Lord God. Father, we come tonight, and we lift up not only the city of Portland, but we lift up every city and state that makes up these United States. We pray, oh God, that your spirit would move through this state, move through our country, Lord. We pray, God, that a revival would come, oh God, and stir up the hearts and minds of your people and cause them to humble themselves and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways. You promised you would hear from heaven and you would heal the land. So, God, send forth a revival, oh God, from here, right here in Portland, all the way, Father,
as far down as Texas and Georgia and New York, and go up New York and go to the west, go to Arizona, and go, Father, just go, let your spirit have free course in these places, oh God. Let your will be done, Father. Lord, we pray, oh God, for the souls and the hearts and the minds of your people, that we get not weary in our well-doing, but we would be rooted and grounded in your word, and that we would tell this dying world that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that the only way that they can come unto the Father is by you. Father, we pray tonight for those that are grieving, Father. We pray for the bereaved families tonight. We pray that you would strengthen them, that you would comfort them, Lord God, that they, Father, would look to you, for you're the author and the finish of our faith. You give peace, God, in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the confusion, God. Give comforting words, Father, to help them, God, during this time. Lord, I pray for those that are homeless today. I pray that you would encamp your guardian angels all around about them, Father. I pray that you would keep them safe, Father. It's summertime within our cities, Lord. It's hot outside, and people, Father, are dying from heat. Lord, keep them safe. Lord, help those agencies with their finances do the work that you've commissioned them to do. Lord, open up the floodgates of heaven, Lord God. Be blessings to those Christian organizations that are providing shelter and providing places for people to come and get their daily needs met. Father, just bless today, Lord God. And Father, we pray for those that are incarcerated today, those who are behind prison walls. We pray, Father, that they would come to know the true and living God, that they would accept you as their Lord and Savior, that they would believe in your Son, Jesus, who died for them on the cross, who gave his life as a remission for their sins. God, I pray that they not just get a jailhouse religion, but they would have a true relationship with you, Lord. So, God, bless, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. This is our prayer tonight, Lord. We pray for everyone that's on this line tonight. Whatever it is they stand in need of, Father, you meet the need, Lord God. Bring forth healing, deliverance, salvation. God, answer prayer tonight, Father, because they were on this line and they received, Lord, the word that's coming forth. I pray now that your hand would rest upon Elder Mullen right now, Father, our speaker of the hour. Anoint his lips, Father. Anoint his mind, oh God. Anoint his ears, Father, that he may hear what you're trying to say to the body of Christ. Anoint his mind, Father, that it will come out exactly what you have given him. Anoint his mouth, Father, Lord God. Let the words of his mouth, Father, speak life to us tonight, to help us to press toward the mark, to help us to be steadfast and unmovable, to help us live a life that's God-honoring, to help us live a life that makes the gospel attractive. Father, we bless you tonight. We appreciate you for Elder James Mullen. We thank you, Father, for his willingness to just say, I'll say a word tonight. Bless his heart, Lord. Bless his family, Lord. We love you tonight, Lord God. Bless the hearers of your holy word tonight. May we, Father, be changed, renewed, revived and restored, because we spent this time together in prayer, fellowship, and the preaching and teaching of your holy word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, thank God, and amen. Hallelujah. Amen, Lord. Announcement tonight. We, again, for those of you who have joined us, I want to say welcome to the Light of Portland. Tonight, our guest speaker is Elder James Mullen. He is the son of New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. If you've lived in Portland, Oregon for any amount of time, you know that Elder Mullen is not new to the gospel work. Amen. He is a musician. He is minister of music. He plays for anybody that needs somebody to play. Any choir, any split, any group, he can play, and he's anointed to play. But I'm so excited to share this time with him because he's going to preach the word to us tonight, and so I'm excited about that. So we want to welcome all of you and others for being our speaker tonight. Thank you. But by way of announcement, we do want to make this announcement. On next Sunday, June 23rd, New Hope Mission Baptist Church will be celebrating the 6th Pastoral Appreciation for our friend and our brother, Pastor J. Walter Hills, Jr. We are just so excited about the work that God is doing through Pastor Hills. He's done so many wonderful things since he's been in our city. And we just want to invite you all to come out to New Hope on next Sunday at 3 o'clock and celebrate the man of God with us. New Hope is located at 3725 North Gantenbein. And you are just welcome to come and enjoy the Spirit of the Lord. There's going to be a guest preacher. There's going to be choirs. And it's going to be an awesome time of celebration. So we want to invite you to come join us on next Sunday at New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. By way of community announcements, we've had a busy weekend, a busy June. We had the Rose Festival parade. Yesterday we had the Juneteenth, and then this coming weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the King Neighborhood Park, which is located on 7th, right off of Alberta, it will be good for the neighborhood. It's a community event where people are out and about showing their love for the community, a time of food, fun, and fellowship. It's a family time. There's going to be a parade next Saturday starting at 11 o'clock. It's going to be marching down from Emmanuel Hospital down to King School, down MLK. So if you're not doing nothing on next Saturday, come on out. Wave at the participants in the parade. Be with family. Be with friends. Just celebrate the community. It's time for us to come together. It's time for us to show the unity of our community. And it starts with us coming together and being in accord, having a good time, good music, good food, good fun, good fellowship. So I encourage you, get involved with stuff that's happening in the community. The body of Christ, we have been given charge to have influence over 7 mountains. And if things go wrong, it's because we've stopped praying, we've stopped talking, we've stopped letting our voice be heard, we've stopped voting, we've stopped participating in different events and showing up to meetings. But it's time for the body of Christ to stand up and represent the kingdom of God like we're supposed to. And let's get out to these places. The Union District Baptist Association should be in the parade. We should have flags. We should have a drill team. Come on here, somebody. We should be leading the way. And so I'm excited about the work that God is getting ready to do through the body of Christ right here in the city, right here in the community. As we speak things into an existence and as we begin to move, we are change agents, and God is looking for us to do that in this time. Pastor Sherelle, I don't know if you're on the line, if you have any announcements or anything, but would you like to come on and greet us tonight?
Amen. I just want to say, blessed be the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a blessing to be with the body of Christ tonight. I want to say happy Father's Day to all of those that are fathers by way of naturally, by way of taking care of somebody else's children, by way of fostering. by way of mentoring. We appreciate all that you do for the children because they are the future today. Amen. Amen. I just want to encourage those of you that may be traveling to Atlanta, Georgia, or have the ability to get to Atlanta. Holy Convocation will be happening July the 14th through the 21st, and we invite you all to partake in the fellowship. The first service be all worship, no preaching, just basking in the presence of the Lord. For more information, if you would please go to comeintothelight.org. Again, that's comeintothelight.org. And all of the information will be there on the website. It is truly an honor to fellowship and be sisters with Pastor Kimberly Black, who is great and awesome in the body of Christ and doing an awesome work for the Lord. I love her dearly. And I am grateful for Minister Mullins tonight, and I pray that the Lord will truly use him tonight to bring a word that will impact each and every one of us. And so to you and to especially to you, I greet you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. It's so good to hear your voice and also to see you on today. So we won't prolong the time any longer. I'm going to bring Elder James Mullen on live now and want to yield the call to him. Elder Mullen, good evening.
God bless you. Thank you for this opportunity, and thank God for you, Pastor Black, and to my Pastor J. Walter Hills. As you mentioned, he will be celebrating 6 years of ministry. Thank God for him, what he has imparted into my life and into the life of others. I'm going to get right to the word. This is we're celebrating Father's Day. I think it's important that we have fathers that we can talk to, and fathers that are sensitive to our needs, and fathers that can train us up in the way we should go. But every once in a while, every now and then, we go to our fathers and whoever, but they can't help us. But just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. And I want to talk to you from Genesis 32nd chapter. Genesis 32, 22nd verse through the 29th verse. That's Genesis 32, 22. And it reads, "And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over before Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had, all that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the break of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And he wrestled with him, and he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' He said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.'" 29 says, "And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' He blessed him there, and Jacob called the name of that place Peniel." Praise the Lord. All right, praise the Lord. Having a technical difficulties, but God is still yet good. Genesis 32, chapter 32, verse 22. And we realize this text in the second spiritual encounter of Jacob's life. And he said, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over before Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that all that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And he wrestled with the man, and he said, 26, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. 27, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. 28, and he says, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and has prevailed. 29, and Jacob asked him, and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there in that place. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. How many know that just a little talk with Jesus can make your situation a little better? This text is the second spiritual encounter of Jacob's life. His first encounter was at the place called Bethel. You remember Jacob's ladder. In Genesis 28, Jacob met up with God at Bethel. At Bethel, he saw the ladder, but at Jabbok, he saw the Lord. In Bethel, he became a believer, but in Jabbok, he was broken. In Bethel, Jacob became a son, but in Jabbok, he became a saint. In Bethel, Jacob died to his sins, but in Jabbok, he died to himself and his pride. In Bethel, he left with a spring in his step, but in Jabbok, he left with a lasting limp, a reminder that he had been with the Lord. Everybody needs a Bethel experience, a place, or a place in time where you know without a shadow of a doubt that you have met the Lord. I remember coming up in the church I grew up in, Bishop A. Wells had mentioned one Thursday night, he said, we can't just do church as usual. And you got to know God for yourself. And you got to know what you can bank on with God. You can't just serve God just because your grandmother served him. You can't serve him just because your mama and your daddy served him. You better know that you know that you know that what God says is true. And so you have to have a place in time where you know without a shadow of a doubt that you have met the Lord. Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place. And so you ought to know the hour. You ought to know the day. You ought to know the experience that brought you in to the presence of the living God. But likewise, every believer under the sound of my voice needs not only a Bethel experience, but we also need a Jabbok experience. A Jabbok experience is crucial, because Bethel will get you fit for heaven, but Jabbok will get you fit for the work down here on earth. Pastor Black mentioned that we got to be busy about God's business. We got to vote. We got to be visible. We got to be heard in our communities. We need to go to heaven, and yes, that's important. And thank God for the pearly gates. But God also needs to use us here on earth. But God can't use us until he breaks us. God can't use us until he breaks us. Some of us can't praise God. Some of us can't shout or give God glory. Why? Because we haven't been broken yet. We're still full of ourselves, and I'm talking about me too, still full of pride. Because you still got good health and you still got enough money, still got friends, still got a job or a career and a nice home. God hasn't broken you yet. But just like we need a Bethel experience, we need a Jabbok experience. We need to come to a place in our life where God empties us of us. Verse 24, Jacob was alone. He was facing a serious time of testing. He brought his wife, he brought his children, but he left them and everything that he had on the other side of the brook because he was about to face a brother that he had tricked and misused 20 years prior to this time. And unless God got him alone, God couldn't break him. And I think sometimes when our faith is tested, it's not always that the devil did it. It's some decisions that we make that go wrong. Our decisions have consequences. Our reputations, the things that we do have consequences. And sometimes God has to break us, get us alone in the silence, away from the noise, and he's got to break us. This leads me to my first point. If we are going to be strong Christians, we've got to find some alone time with God. We're living in a time where some of us cannot stand to be alone and disconnected from the noises in our lives. We have to be connected at all times, always looking around to see who's looking at us. Can't walk down the street, sit down at the table to eat, or many other tasks unless we're connected. We're Facebooking, Instagramming, tweeting. Everything has to be at our fingertips, or we've got to listen to music, or the television has got to be on, whether we're watching it or not. It just got to be on. We're constantly texting on our phone, social media, constantly talking and always in touch and connected to the noises of life or the noises in our lives. Why? Because we're afraid and fearful of the noise that silence brings. We're afraid to be alone because when we're alone, we have to face ourselves, the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is true with the younger as well as the older folk. Always on the phone, always visiting somebody in somebody's business, always working, workaholics, and overworking ourselves because we can't stand to be by ourselves. We need some alone time with God. But I praise and thank God for those moments when I can have alone time with him. The hymn writer C. Austin Miles says in the garden, I come to the garden alone. While the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And the chorus says, he said, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known. So we must disconnect. I want to admonish us to try to disconnect from the noises in our lives. We have to take some time to disconnect from social media and the television and connect with Jesus Christ. Put a stop to the noise and allow God to speak to us. My wife is the beach cobbler, the cream in my coffee. But my wife, she's my baby, but she ain't the Lord. Because when my heart is overwhelmed, I need the Savior, that rock that is higher than I. And when my burdens get a little heavy, I don't need to hold your hand. I need to hold to God's unchanging hands. We will never be all that God wants us to be until we spend some alone time with God. Instead of checking social media first thing in the morning, we can't even wake up. We need to check in with God. In the book of Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declare the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." We will never know what his plans are until we spend time with him, until we check in with him. Jacob was there alone. And when God got him alone, Jacob had to not only face God, but also face himself. When was the last time we told ourselves the truth? I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a supplanter, a deceiver. I've got sin in me. I'm just like Jacob. Sometimes we're just like Jacob. We're made in this flesh. We have a propensity to sin. There's a little Jacob in me. I gotta deal with the Jacob in me, because there's something in me that makes me low down and makes me gossip and makes me lie and makes me try to deceive other folks and try to deceive the IRS and try to deceive even myself. Don't get mad at me. It's just the Jacob in me. Romans 7:19, it says, "For I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing, because it is that sin, that Jacob in me." And if you be honest, there's a little Jacob in you too. Says that, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. Have you ever been in so much pain or so much trouble that you prayed all night? You paced the floor, you couldn't rest. You tried to figure it out how you were going to fix it. How are you going to fix your situation? But until you had to resolve within yourself that you had to pray and wrestle with God. The problem is we wrestle with God, still trying to hold on to our way of doing things. I know what your word says, but this is what I want to do. I know what the Bible says, but I can't stand her. I can't stand him. I can't stand my neighbor. I know your will and plan for my life, but we'll just, bless what I'm trying to do, God. Will you just bless what I'm trying to do? I don't mind testifying that there have been times in my life that instead of following God's plans, I made my own plans and just asked God to bless my plans. I know I'm not the only one, but who has went ahead of God and wanted God to bless what they were doing rather than doing what God was blessing? We need to stop asking God to bless what we're doing and learn how to do what God is blessing. There have been times when I knew what was right, but I still chose to do wrong. Like some of you, I didn't make a mistake. I'm going to say it again. I didn't make a mistake. I willfully did what was wrong. Why? Because it was the Jacob in me. God, I know what your word says, but will you bless my plans? I got to cut across the field and get to my clothes. The Bible says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. There are times when God has to touch us in a place that takes the fight right out of us. I'm going to say it again. There are times when God has to touch us in a place that takes the fight right out of us. It might be our finances. It might be our marriage. It might be our relationships. Why? Because as long as we're fighting, God can't bless us. If you want to be blessed, you've got to allow God to break you. And I know this is a hard word for some of us, but a place of brokenness. But God makes us strong in our broken places. Paul said, I had a thorn in my flesh, and I went to the Lord 3 times for him to remove it. And God said, no. God says, my strength can only be made perfect in your weak and broken places. Verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. It is here in the text that Jacob realizes that this is indeed the hand of God, because no ordinary man could have touched him and broke his hip like that. Verse 26, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go until you bless me. And so after Jacob realizes that this is indeed the hand of the Lord, Jacob says, if you're going to break me, then you got to bless me. He said, Lord, if you have to break me, then I want you to bless me. He says, I don't believe that God can touch me and not bless me. If there's a breaking, then there has to be a blessing. That let me know that whenever God touches and whenever God breaks, that there must be. There just has to be a blessing in it somewhere. I know your faith might be tested within, and you might need God to come through in the next 72 hours, but just know when you're going through and when God has to touch you and to break you, there's a blessing in it somewhere for you. The thing that I like about the text that I noticed that Jacob in the past, he desired things. You remember he desired Esau's birthright. He desired Isaac's inheritance. He desired Rachel's hand in marriage. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. So he no longer wanted the things, but he needed something more tangible from God. And for some of us, that's where we are. We need to know him without a shadow of a doubt. We need to feel him. Sometimes we can't feel him with our natural means. We can't see or touch him, and we can't feel him. When we shake ourselves, we can't feel him. When we call him, we can't feel him. But keep seeking God, and he will reveal himself to you. And he said, I'm going to go back to the word, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Here I notice that God, sometimes we have our reputations, we have our reputations tied to our name. He didn't say Mullen, he didn't say Black, he didn't say the last name, that's tied to your family, but his first name, Jacob, is tied individually to him. And God is saying, that I want to change your reputation. I want to change who people think that you are. I want to change who you were in the past. But some of us, we did do what they said we did. But by the grace of God, he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask my name? And he blessed him there. So after he changes his reputation and after he changes his character, God wants to make adjustments to our character as we begin to obey him the more. It is not here that Jacob, he didn't know that it was God. He asked God his name the same way Moses asked in Exodus 3 for our Bible readers. In Exodus 3, after Moses had experienced God, he says, tell me what name I can use so that I can prove to other people that I know who you are. And this Jacob that has been broken, he says, I don't need you to bless me with things. I don't need you to bless me with anybody, but just let me see you in a new way. Just let me experience you in a new way. In my alone time with you, let me experience you on a deeper level. Somebody ought to help me testify that when you hold on long enough, God will show up. When God shows up and you allow him to break you, and when all the fight is gone, and you can all you can do is hold on and say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. Psalms 51 said, it is not until God has broken you in the places that you thought you were strong that you can show up on a Sunday morning in your brokenness. Realizing that God can't bless you until he has broken you. And after God has broken you, and after God has blessed you, then God puts his mark on you. He brands you. In Exodus, if you were a slave in Egypt, there was a hole in the ear with a ring in the hole that signified that you belong to somebody. That owner has branded you and has the right to do whatever they please. But once the Lord has broken you, and once the Lord has blessed you, he has the right to brand you and put his mark on you. Here's how the Lord branded Jacob. He touched him in his hip socket, and Jacob limped for the rest of his life. You may not have a limp on this evening, but if you belong to the Lord, he has branded you and put his mark on you. He's given you something that nobody else has given you. He's given you something that identifies that you belong to him, that you belong to the Lord. And no matter where you go, and no matter whose company you are in, God has a way of letting everybody around you know that you belong to him. He lets the devil know that he can have that one over there. But this one you can't have. This one is covered by my hand. This one has been washed in the blood. Is there anybody here tonight that knows that the Lord has broken you? Is there anybody here that knows that the Lord has blessed you? And the Lord has put his mark on you. Your brand ought to be that if nobody else wants to praise him, if nobody else wants to give him the praise, that I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to wave my hand. I'm going to give God the praise. I'm going to tell somebody else about God because he has broken me. He has then blessed me. And then he has branded me. He has put his mark on my life that others may see his hand on my life. This can only happen if we get some alone time with God. If we spend time with God, we have to disconnect from the noises. It's good to stay connected to people, but there comes a time when it's just an addiction, when it's taking away time from God, when it's taking away time from our families, fathers, husbands, when it's taking away time from our babies. We need to spend time with God so he can show us how to be better Christians, how to be better fathers, how to be better leaders in our community, how to be better brothers and sons. He can show us how to walk in the way he wants us to walk. And I pray today that somebody, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, that you would get to know him. Or if you need to reconnect with Christ, that you would reconnect with him. Come away from the noise. Come away from the things that are taking you away. Some folk don't mean us no good. Some people are taking time away from God. We need to break from the people, from the noise, and spend more time with God. God bless you this evening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Elder Mullen, thank you for that word on tonight. We truly appreciate you sharing with us tonight from Genesis chapter 32, verse 22. We praise God for your words on tonight and reminding us of the importance of what we need to do to be stronger Christians and to be strong and remain strong in the faith. One of the things that you mentioned that I want to you to kind of just, for the next couple of minutes, talk about, because you talked about this really good. You mentioned, you know, stepping away from social media. You mentioned, you know, don't be afraid of the quiet. Can you just go back just for a few minutes just to reiterate the importance of needing to find some alone time with God? Can you give us some other suggestions of some things that we can do to help us in that search of finding some alone time with God?
Yes, Pastor. I think that we have we're born in sin, we're shaped in iniquity, so we're drawn to some things automatically that we shouldn't be drawn to. We come out the mother's womb drawn to some things that we shouldn't. You don't have to teach a baby to do wrong. You don't have to teach a child to do wrong. But you have to teach them to do right. You have to raise them to be right. Stay away from the things, the vices, and the things that easily beset us, and the addictions. There's so much stimulation out there. And I've shared my testimony before, being addicted to even pornography. And you can be in the church and be addicted to all kind of things. You could be serving in the church. You could be serving in the music ministry. You could be preaching and be addicted to all kind of things. These are things that we don't even talk about in the church a lot of times. But unless we get along with God, God is the only one that can help us with these things. Man can't help us. There's nothing that anybody else can do to help us with strongholds in our lives. We don't have a choice. I know, being a family man myself, that there are times when it's hard because I have to provide for my family. I have to love on them, hold them, and you know, keep them close to me. But every once in a while, I have to put them to bed just a little early and just spend some quiet time with the Lord. Just sit down in the quietness. If you have to go outside and just look at nature and just feel the quietness of the wind, let God speak to your heart. Once we actually stay still for a moment. I think we're just busy folks. But if once we get still, God will meet us there.
Amen.
Meet us right where we are.
I'm a person that wants to leave people with things that they can easily do. To say that I was able to take the word of God and apply it to my life. And you said tonight, maybe you go to bed a little early, maybe even, you know, wake up a little early. I'm a night owl. I like to stay up late. And, yeah, when others are asleep, I'm up then. That's when I can talk to God. And the last couple of weeks we've been walking, and I've been finding myself, you know, enjoying just being out in the air, walking. Maybe I slow down from the rest of the group, or I speed up from everybody else. But it's like you said, it's in those times that I can really touch in, you know, to the presence of the Lord, and have that desire to be in His presence fulfilled. And it don't take all day, and it don't take all night, and it don't take a whole bunch of, you know, words to get there.
Right.
It's just like you said. Yeah. Finding that time alone with Him. I want to thank you tonight for sharing that word with us. I thank God for you. I pray that God will continue to bless you and your ministry and the work that He has assigned to your hands. I pray that He would richly bless you and that He would continue to pour within you a rhema word for His people. Thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. I want to thank our listeners tonight. I want to encourage you next Sunday, when you receive the text message, forward the text message to at least three people, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. We want to fill up these lines. We want people all across the United States to be tuned in to the Light of Portland radio broadcast. I thank you so much for calling in tonight. Thank you for spending that hour with us. Thank you for lending your undivided attention to Elder James Mullen of the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, who preached out of his heart tonight. Until we meet again, my brothers and my sisters, be blessed in the Lord, and may the peace of God dwell with you richly. Thank you for tuning in to the Light of Portland broadcast. Until next Sunday, have a blessed week.